Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Right now, we're locking down the phone lines for a temporary amount of time.
We're on lockdown.
We've got a special guest who's with us here to start the show. But we will have open phones later on, so stay tuned for that. You can jot the number down if you'd like. It's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Chris Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass is here.
We don't do guests very often on this program, but earlier this week I saw on social media, on Twitter, there's an account I follow called Dash Incubator, which is one of the various different accounts associated with the Dash cryptocurrency. Of course, we're also associated with the Dash cryptocurrency in that we are accepting 32 Dash per month thanks to the Dash, their decentralized autonomous organization, which is, by the way, the world's first. Dash did it first. Thanks to them for sending us that 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. We've been telling you generally.
You had mentioned on one of these programs that you didn't need to wait for the transaction to get confirmed if you were using Dash.
That's because Dash is irreversible, unlike Bitcoin, which a few years ago, several years ago, they put in a quote-unquote feature that basically allows you to hit the undo button on a Bitcoin transaction as long as it hasn't gotten its first confirmation. But we got the lead strategist for Dash on with us here. His name is Ryan Sovereign. He's on with us from Utah at home, I presume. Welcome, Ryan.
Thanks. It's good to be here. Yeah. Just for clarification, I'm not the lead strategist of Dash.
Oh, okay.
Although I wish I were sometimes. Just the Dash incubator. Which
Very
is
good.
One of the Dash-funded organizations.
Well, tell me about the Dash Incubator. What is that, and you know, how is it related to Dash as a cryptocurrency?
Yeah, so as you know, Dash has a DAO, which was the first DAO. And basically what that means is every month, every about 30 days, there's a super block, which basically mints out newly issued currency for any project that is deemed interesting and would provide value to Dash. And so I apply or I send a proposal quarterly to that process. And then the stakeholders, which are called masternode owners in Dash, they vote on whether anybody should get funding or not. And, you know, you got funding for this sponsorship, and I get funding to run the organization called Dash Incubator. We do web development and blockchain developments. So, like, we're mostly doing applications that are building on Dash platform, but we also do other application development.
Can you give us an example of something that has been incubated and put into production, perhaps?
So most of our stuff actually isn't in production yet because, like I said, it's waiting for Dash Platform, which is a product that's been in the works for several years, and is coming to a close. We just barely got back on testnet recently, and so applications building on top of that, we at least now have a testnet to build on. But in the meantime, we do things like one of the things that I focused on is payment tooling and merchant acceptance tooling. But we also have developed something like a Twitter alternative that's built on Dash platform. But again, none of that's live yet, so it's mostly experimental stuff.
We're big fans of merchant acceptance here on Free Talk Live, and this is something that we've focused on over the years, having been involved with the folks over at AnyPay for some time, which is, as you probably know, one of the primary cryptocurrency, multi-crypto acceptance platforms out there. One of the real challenges in the world of crypto for those of us that are focused on getting local businesses to accept cryptocurrency, which, you know, was kind of the whole point, I thought, was to actually get people to spend crypto. And that's what I love about Dash, is that it's one of the few cryptos that actually focuses on being used as an actual day-to-day useful currency. It's pretty slim pickings out there as far as options for local businesses. Yeah, to actually accept something at a point of sale, you know, to have a tablet there with something running on it to make it easy for a cashier to just punch in some numbers, get a QR code up, and then have it work correctly when somebody tries to pay. AnyPay was the primary one for a while, and they actually launched with Dash back in 2017. There's a few out there that are just like one-off. So there's like one that just does Bitcoin Cash. There's this one company that just does Dash, but I don't think anyone else besides AnyPay is doing multi-crypto acceptance that includes Dash. I know BitPay has something, but they're not doing, I don't think they're doing Dash. Are you aware of anything, any other multi-crypto platforms out there?
Yes, there are quite a few, but a lot of them are focused on fiat conversion as well, which I'm not as interested in, but there's things like Coin Payments is one that comes to mind. There's, if you look on Dash.org, there's a whole page of merchant tools that all accept Dash.
Didn't Coin Payments recently, though, blow up all U.S. user support and basically tell people in the United States to go pound sand? They don't want to deal with them anymore?
They may have. That's news that I don't know about.
I feel like I heard that somewhere.
Were they the one that... you know, like I took a trip to Wisconsin last summer or last spring, and I random Chinese restaurant I ordered some food from off their website, and they had an option to pay with crypto. And it wasn't that the restaurant itself was accepting the crypto. It was that they had integrated this payment system into their website.
Yeah, it was an intermediary.
Happened. Right. Mm-hmm. And I is that the same company?
I don't know about that. But Coin Payments, according to, this was like a year ago. I just did a quick search here. Coin Payments kicking out U.S.-based customers. Yeah. This was, they closed everybody down in July of 2022, apparently. So.
Okay. Well, the page that I was telling you about, dash.org/providers-and-tools, you could just Google it. But you mentioned AnyPay, and we had recently requested, actually the AnyPay guy had to for some reason, that get back up on our website because it was off temporarily, but now it's back up there and in the number one slot even. And recently, to tie it back into the incubator, we do have a project on our card that's AnyPay assistance. So there were several bugs that needed to get fixed on AnyPay,
right.
and we went ahead and we fixed those, and we're adding some features to that. So we love the AnyPay guys.
Yeah, thank goodness. I'm so glad that they open sourced their software, because for a long time it wasn't.
Yes. Yeah.
And then they decided to that they needed the help. I think they realized, and they open sourced it. And I saw the there was like a Dash podcast that you guys did. Where yep. you interviewed, I think, a programmer from somewhere over in Eastern Europe who went in there and hammered out the code and got yep. AnyPay back up into shipshape condition. So I'm really glad to hear about those changes. So Dash Incubator had a big hand in that, sounds like?
Yeah, we were the ones that did that. Joel Valenzuela kind of tipped us off and said, hey, the AnyPay guys could use some help getting this this fixed. And I debated on it for a little while because I don't necessarily want to play favorites with merchant tools that are third parties and their companies and everything. But in this case, we got to have some payment tools that work. And AnyPay being one of the only ones, like controversies aside, we just got to get this thing going. So, yeah, we decided to pull that in. And
as a user, thank you.
And what was that Dash podcast that you were hearing about that on?
So we have a weekly podcast called Incubator Weekly. And we highlight a project that we're working on every week, a different project every week. So we did the AnyPay project a few weeks ago. So if you just Googled, you know, we're on YouTube. I don't think that we're syndicated elsewhere at this point, but we should be. But yeah, that's if you Google Incubator Weekly, you'll come up with the show, and the AnyPay is probably like 3 or 4 weeks ago. So
yeah, we were suffering here for like more than a year, I think, because under that particular bug that was plaguing the AnyPay system. And as you may or may not know, Ryan, the show's based out of New Hampshire, and Joel, who you mentioned, is sort of noteworthy as one of the key crypto activists up here. He has been living exclusively on cryptocurrency, has no bank account for almost a decade. I believe he started in 2015, and he lives over on the east side of New Hampshire, over in the Seacoast area, and we're on the western, southwestern side in the Keene area, and both the Seacoast and Keene have historically been the most crypto accepting places as far as like local businesses where you can actually go in, you can actually spend cryptocurrency, including Dash. Every place that takes crypto here is taking Dash, and they have been for many years, because again, AnyPay launched with Dash. And it was just so sad to see people. I'm not allowed to use crypto under my bail conditions, but I used to be a daily user of Dash here in town, and it's just so sad to see people being unable to spend, people who want to spend, and businesses who want to accept it. It's just like we were crippled for so long. So thank you, guys, at the Dash Incubator for getting that system back up and running. It's tough, you know, bringing businesses on board, as great as an idea as cryptocurrency is. If those tools don't exist, you're dead in the water. So I know one of the things that you wanted to talk about here tonight was the banking system. And this is something that we've been focused on certly in recent weeks and months here, especially on Free Talk Live on the Saturday show, where we've covered, you know, the various different banking failures over the last couple months. Of course, we've been discussing inflation and, you know, all the various different economic factors in play right now. And I think, you know, it's certainly Dash and other cryptocurrencies that are, you know, out there right now are more important than they've ever been as an outlet for people to get out of the current system. I mean, besides the fact that the banking system just seems to be imploding in upon itself, and we may not actually have to lift a finger in order to see it completely demolished, you know, what do you think about transitioning from the status quo to a more crypto-oriented future?
Yeah, that is something that I want to get into detail about. But at first, I did want to mention one thing about your show, because you mentioned something about, you know, do I know about the show? I do know about the show. I discovered your show probably 10 years ago, and that is actually your show is what brought me to Bitcoin almost 10 years ago right
now.
So,
nice.
So thank you guys.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I'm glad
we could help.
Very much a Bitcoiner for many years, and then eventually shifted over to Dash, because of various reasons.
Let's talk about the reasons. I mean, at least for me.
Let me guess. Yeah. Because you can't actually make small purchases with it.
Yes.
That was a reason for me, for sure. It was, I have to admit, I was one of those people who I didn't see the value in the alternatives to Bitcoin early on. I remember when Mark Edge and I were doing Bitcoin shows, conferences,
surprising,
long time ago, because back in the day, Bitcoin was useful for small payments. Bitcoin could do microtransactions. It had all that capability. It was being used for those purposes. And when, all these other alternatives came along, I was just like, my attitude was like, what do we need you guys for? Everything's fine. Bitcoin's great.
And from the very beginning, I'm like, well, I mean, any system can be compromised, even if it's very, very difficult to do so. So, I mean, even if Bitcoin was doing its job of being able to make ordinary purchases with, having these other chains, you know, if for no other purpose than, you know, if somehow or another the existing fiat banking system got enough sway over this system through hook or crook in one other way, that would be a way of securing the idea, is having these other chains to move to.
Yeah, had I had that wisdom, I might have bought some Dash when we first interviewed the founder of Dash years ago. But instead, it wasn't until Bitcoin started to very slow and very expensive, so I realized, oh my God, we got to do something to diversify. And so that's when I finally decided to get into the alternatives like Dash at that
and
point.
And I think I jumped kind of off in terms of my interest level in Bitcoin even before the fees became to be a huge problem. I just discovered Amanda B. Johnson, who you probably are familiar with. She had a show called The Daily Decrypt. and she covered many different cryptocurrencies. I was just interested in the whole space because I'm very much like a competition kind of guy. Like the more competition, the better the value, most likely, the lower the costs.
Agreed.
So I was looking into alternatives, and you know, I discovered Dash, and the thing that was really, this was probably about 2015, the thing that was really interesting to me was the DAO, and was the fact that they carved out a portion of the block rewards away from miners and towards stakeholders, which we call masternode owners, and then the 10% of the budget. And I just thought, that is a project that has legs to becoming an actual economy and not just a speculative asset that you buy and kind of hope that it works, because you have to actually kickstart the economy by, in my opinion, and this will probably be one of the themes about my message tonight, is until and unless people are actually getting paid in the cryptocurrency for their daily job, this will not catch on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the lesson of my, that's my 10-year sage lesson, I guess, of being in this, fighting in this fight for 10 years, is that I've just come to the realization that it's not going to catch on until people are actually earning cryptocurrency.
That always just seemed like a different stage in the progression of the thing. Like it seems to me that the first thing is where you have, okay, you know that you can get valuable things in exchange for this, and then it becomes more common to exchange goods and services for it. And as that becomes more and more common, since it's reliable over a period of time that you'll be able to exchange this for valuable things, then would be when employers would when employees would be willing to take their payment in something that they weren't necessarily hardcore zealot on.
Yeah, there have been a variety of services where you can individually, like, go to your human resources portal for your employer if they have one, and change your direct deposit information to this third-party service that will convert your paycheck post-theft, post-taxes, into cryptocurrency of your choice and then deposit it into your crypto wallet. That has happened. So we know that there is at least the market idea for it and that there is some market demand for it. So I look forward to the day when that is the popular thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen organically or not. And that's kind of my thing that I've kind of learned, is that not a lot of things happen organically. As you know, libertarians, of which I would call myself a libertarian, although I know that term's kind of embattled these days, they tend to step back and say, oh, the market will take care of it. What they don't realize is that you are the market. I am the market. The market is not going to take care of anything. Individuals are going to take care of things through their own will. And so, yes, you know, like, it's good to have these options, but a supplement to that statement is that most people are not that driven. Like, most people are not, don't have that will behind them to, like, change an economy, change a system, change, you know, change the political scene. Most people are just neutral. Yep. They just want to pay their bills and
go along to get along,
families, and have fun with friends. And that's what most people are going to do. And so most people are just going to take a job that pays them something. Mm-hmm. And most times you take that payment in U.S. dollars. And so that's kind of what has to change, is I think I call myself the lead strategist. I call myself a strategist because personally, I'm done with the theory. I know enough libertarian theory. I'm past that point, and I'm hoping that other people kind of get past that point. It's time for strategy and execution, building on top of the theory that we all know and know well enough to at least put it into action. And so I think that there needs to be a few people that need to just kind of create businesses that pay the business pays out in cryptocurrency. And then it doesn't matter, like, the employees, they don't have to have any kind of dog in the fight. They don't have to be ideological or anything. They just have to be paid in something that can work for them, that they can then turn around and spend at other merchants and things. but they don't necessarily need to, you know, fight the fight about like, you know, we're going to change the system. They're just going to get paid and they're going to buy their groceries with it. You know, that's.
Yeah, I like the message of implementation and, you know, taking action to what we want to see in the marketplace. And we've definitely had a lot of that happen here in New Hampshire. The Fed's kind of put a dampener on things in the last few years by using SWAT teams to raid some of the key activists up here. And I suspect that has put a bit of a pallor of fear over the entire crypto scene. Plus, you got the SEC bringing lawsuit after lawsuit against good people like the folks over at Library, for instance, which they're still embattled in that particular situation. They're going after Ripple. They're going after Coinbase. They're going after, you know, you fill in the blank. There's been so many of these suits. So yeah, they're definitely trying to intimidate people. Do you feel like this has had an effect on, you know, local businesses' willingness to even consider not just accepting cryptocurrency like Dash, but also certainly paying people in Dash? Has that put a, you know, fear into people?
Well, honestly, I don't think anybody's even close to that point yet. We're still at the phase of building infrastructure to make this possible if and when the masses do come around to the idea. So I'm not out there on the streets trying to get merchants to adopt at this point, mm-hmm. or trying to get businesses to use cryptocurrency. I think we still need a lot of infrastructure changes. And that's to bring it back to Dash a little bit. And by the way, I'm not a Dash maxi. It's just that it's the only project that I really see as having potential and targeting this. Most projects have just kind of given up on even trying to be money. You know, there are probably 80 out of the 100 in the top 100 that are not even trying to be money. It's,
right.
That's not cryptocurrency projects. They're crypto assets. They're meme coins. They're stable coins. They're just they're not trying to be money. They're just trying to be something else. And then I would say there's probably maybe 10 that are actually trying to be money. And then of those 10, very few. I think Dash is probably the only one that has this system where we are paying our developers from the actual stakeholders instead of having volunteer developers that can get co-opted and that can get hired by third-party interests.
I'm bankers.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you think that this incubator that Dash has is the what's the word I'm looking for? The motivation behind what Dash does versus every other crypto.
I don't know. Hold that thought. Make a note. We'll have to ask that question coming up here. Ryan, you're with us for at least a whole hour here. Stand by. We're going to continue in moments. If you got a question for Ryan Sovereign, he's with the Dash Incubator. You can jump on the lines now at 603-283-6160. Talking about implementation, building the infrastructure for what comes next, which is hopefully mass adoption.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The Texas House has decided to impeach Attorney General Ken Paxson The vote was 121-23, with Paxson now suspended from office pending a Senate trial. The impeachment proceedings come after a months-long secret investigation into Paxson, which started after the AG asked the state legislature to approve the use of public funds for a more than $3 million settlement with former employees. Sources close to the debt ceiling talk say it's possible a deal may still be reached today. Arriving on Capitol Hill this morning, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy told reporters he sees progress and is optimistic heading into the latest round of negotiations. CNN reports McCarthy and President Biden will meet tonight. The TSA says it's expecting to screen roughly 10 million travelers this holiday weekend, with the rush already starting. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. You can bring up anything you want in a little bit. Not right now, because we have special guests on the line. The number for you, though, is 603-283-6160. We're talking about the procedure, the process of change in regards to getting out from the government money system that we've all been saddled with for our whole lives and getting into alternatives like cryptocurrency. Dash, of course, is one of the few cryptos out there focused on being useful as an actual currency. Of course, as you pointed out, we got our guest here, Ryan Sovereign. He's with us from his home in Salt Lake City. He's the lead strategist over at Dash Incubator. And as you pointed out, you're not a Dash maximalist. You're probably like us, where if it works... we use it, right? So
I'm a proof-of-work maximalist, personally.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think proof-of-stake is nonsense that only serves to centralize what was supposed to be a decentralized technology.
Well, Dash is
but a bit I respect of, people who disagree with my opinion.
As so. I understand it, Dash is a bit of both. There's mining, so proof-of-work in Dash, but the masternodes have to stake 1,000 Dash.
And through using Dash Direct, you can use Dash to buy stake.
That's true. Yeah, no, it's really the idea of having more means you get more is really the problem, where, like, with Dash, you have to actually mine in order to get more Dash, whereas with something like Ethereum, if you just stake more Ethereum, then you get more Ethereum, and that just centralizes control of the chain, so...
Yes, I'd like to say something about that, actually, because I am not a big fan of proof of work, but it's because of reasons. So you mentioned you like proof of work because it provides decentralization, and probably also a fairer coin distribution where the rich aren't just getting richer by sitting on their bags.
Right.
And I fully agree with that, that actual goal. I would say that proof of work is one potential means to that goal, but I have come to a point where I think that a better strategy is actually what I call proof of value. And so proof of work, if you kind of dig into it, and you don't even have to dig very far to find out that proof of work is very similar to the labor theory of value. I put a bunch of work into this thing, therefore I should get some money. I think most people realize that that's not a healthy form of a value creation.
Well, the difference being that labor theory of value doesn't include other people valuing what labor you did, whereas with proof of work, I think we can all agree that we value the security of the chain.
For listeners that aren't familiar, proof of work is sort of the traditional means of backing a cryptocurrency, in this case with what are called mining operations, mining computers that put a lot of time and energy into solving mathematical problems to secure the chain, to add blocks to the chain, which, of course, the blocks have the data of the transactions that happen within a certain time frame. Proof of work is sort of the classic way of going about this, but there have been these other alternatives and competitors that have arisen. And so I just wanted to make sure we were clear on what we're talking about.
So that's actually a good springboard to what I was calling proof of value. So as you know, in Dash, I'll keep it simple by saying that our block reward is split three ways. It used to be that 45% would go to miners, 45% that would go to masternode owners, or in other words, stakers, and then 10%. Or up to 10% would go to a general treasury. And that's actually kind of what I consider the proof of value part of it. That small 10%, that dash is only created if the stakeholders, the people that are holding the coins, feel that creating this new dash will actually provide value to the coin and hopefully bring the value of the coin up. Now one of the more controversial, opinions that I have is that we should maximize that, proof of value section. And granted, I'm biased in saying that because I benefit from that personally. But it's more like the other way around. I'm targeting that. I switched my day job from being a mechanical engineer to getting into this cryptocurrency thing as my full-time job, because I think that is the strategy that will actually gain adoption for this whole industry. Everybody should be working, or at least not should be, but if you can, you should work in this industry if you want to push it forward. So that's how economies work. People work for a living, and the thing that they earn is the thing that's going to become the economy. And if you can, the more people you can get earning the coin in a way that provides value to society, the more people that do that, the bigger that economy becomes.
So you're saying expand the treasury from 10% to 25 or 20%?
20%, 25%. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think that we not only should expand the allocation, the percentage that's going to the treasury, but I would say that should come mostly from mining, but that's a deeper reason why I think that we should do that. But I think that we should also increase the coin issuance beyond the cap. So in cryptocurrency, it's kind of a sacred cow that you should have a fixed currency supply.
Right. I think Dash is like, what, 18 million?
Yes. So Bitcoin was, you know, 21 million is the coin supply cap. And then there's like this logarithmic curve that approaches that limit. But that is not to be messed with. If you mess with that, you are, you know,
you're a heretic.
The idea being that, like, there's only, we don't know exactly what the number is, but there's only so much gold on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets harder and harder to get it. And at some point, you do run out. So with cryptocurrency, there's only so much, say, Bitcoin or Dash that can ever be mined. So as you get closer and closer, that the idea of, like, there is a real finite amount
scarcity.
Of this thing. Right, because scarcity has always been a really big part of how valuable a trade good is.
What would your proposal be to change that?
Scarcity is only the supply side. There's also the demand side, and without getting into, you know, supply and demand curves and anything like that, the general premise is that you can think of money as having, there's three main types of money. At least this is how I think about it. You have debt money. That's dollars. U.S. dollar system is mostly a debt monetary system. When money is created on the one hand, it's because debt is also created on the other hand, and the asset and the liability cancel each other out. That's what I call debt money. Then there's also commodity money, which is what you were talking about with mm-hmm. gold, where there's this commodity. It's actually a physical commodity that has a limit. You know, there's a limit to the amount of that stuff on the earth at any given time.
Yeah, just a quick example of the limitation there. So diamonds are a very controlled release. Like they have a sort of a collusion among the people who have the most of the diamonds to say we will only let out so many of them so that the supply stays low, and that keeps the demand for diamonds and thus the price per diamond a lot higher. And that's one of the things with, like, fiat, government issued currency. There's no cap on it, and that's one of the reasons that it keeps inflating away.
Yeah, if you look at fiat currency compared to cryptocurrency, fiat currency is one of the worst S coins that has ever existed.
Yes. Yeah, no doubt, truly.
So there's this third kind of money that I call equity money, and I don't know if there are any economists or anything that are using these terms. This is just how I think of it. Equity money is what I would call cryptocurrencies are what I would think of as equity money. Now, equity, if you think about what is equity, the primary example of equity that we know of today is stock. So there's, if you create a company and you incorporate that company and then you want to raise money for that company, what you can do is you can create an equity stock and say, I'm going to magically just out of nowhere create a million shares of tokens, or a million shares that represent the value of this company. And then I'm going to distribute those million shares to the investors of the company. And those investors, they're getting these things that were just made out of nothing, but they have a value because they put dollars behind that to get the company going. Okay. But debt equity or debt financing and equity financing are the two ways that a company can capitalize itself, and they're totally different. With debt financing, you're borrowing money. You're saying, I need to borrow $10 million, and I will pay back the lender $10 million plus interest. That's debt financing. But equity financing is different. I'm going to the investors say there are 10 investors, $1 million each. They each put in that $1 million, and then what they get out of in return is not a bond or anything that's going to pay them back that exact amount. They get these quote unquote worthless shares, and that's equity of the company. And the hope is that the $10 million that they invested into that company, the company will hire people and they'll produce things, and then they'll have a revenue stream, and then the revenue stream will create value that's coming into the company, and then the equity value of those shares goes up. So that's equity in the classical sense. I consider cryptocurrency to be equity money in that same sense, where we're just making these things up, and we're putting something into that, but we don't expect anything in return. Like if I invest $10,000 into a cryptocurrency asset, doesn't matter which one, I'm not expecting to be repaid that exact amount plus interest. No, I get a token that can either rise in value or fall in value, and I take whatever comes out of that. So that's equity money. Now, when you bring it back to the monetary system, because now I've painted the picture of cryptocurrencies not as being commodity money like Bitcoin was modeled after, that's not really the nature of the beast. The nature of the beast is that cryptocurrencies are equity money. You put something in, and then you're not promised anything in return. And when you think of it that way, you can start to think of a cryptocurrency project as similar to a company, where it doesn't really matter how many shares you're creating. So what matters is if you create some shares of a company and then you want to increase the amount of shares, you can do that. And I'm not by any means like a financial guru or anything. I just know generally how this works. And companies, they can issue extra shares if they want to bring in additional investment. That should be the same model that cryptocurrencies follow. We should be able to increase the shares of our cryptocurrency assets if and only if we expect that to increase the value of the equity money, increase the value of the token. And that if, it's always a gamble, just like it's a gamble in any kind of traditional equity, any kind of company shares. It's always a gamble when you're raising more money. Is this diluting the existing shareholders, or is this going to, in the end, increase the value so that even though you're being diluted a little bit, your overall financial position is better? You have more value because the investment that you brought in increased the token price to a greater degree than you were diluted. So
it's a tricky question, though, right? Because you are pushing against the sort of traditional Bitcoin view that thou shalt never raise the maximum cap, and there's going to be a lot of people pushing against that. And then on the other hand, there are some coins that are already doing this, right? So I think Monero is an example of this, where, as I understand it...
Yeah, I was going to ask if... with Monero, I know that what they do to maintain scarcity in the coin is that they have only so much in a given amount of time that is allowed to be minted, and that they've made that way, way less than the average amount of gold that gets mined in a year. So is that what you were thinking?
I understood the Monero model, is they have a certain amount that comes out, and that stays static. It doesn't go down over time. But because it's compared to the full amount of Monero, the percentage gets slowly smaller and smaller. So even though it's, well, I don't know what it is, X Monero comes out every block as the mining reward, but because it's just adding to the total, it becomes a smaller percentage. Is that kind of what you were thinking
of? Yes, exactly. Monero, in my opinion, is taking a better approach than Bitcoin and Dash in this regard, because they are, it's called a tail emission, where the emission doesn't level off to a certain magic holy number that may not be violated. Instead, the magic number is the amount of, like you were saying, the amount of tokens that are issued over time. Let's say, for just for argument's sake, it's 10 Monero for every block. I have no idea if that's even in the right realm. But if you mint the first 10 in a block, and then the second 10 that you minted is 100% inflation, and then the third 10 is something smaller than that, and then by the time you're at 100, when you issue 10 more, that's only 10%. And then when you're at 1,000, that's only 1%. And then when you're at 10,000, that's only 0.1%. So that, like you were saying, that percentage goes down over time, even though you're minting a fixed amount of the coin over time for eternity. And that is, in my opinion, a better approach, because that provides security to the whoever's validating that. And in the case of Monero, it's mining.
Well, I wanted to ask, so I know that Dash once upon a time had a privacy feature, and I was curious if you had any intent to add that back in, because I know that
it's still there. It's a coin join. It's the most rudimentary, the original form of mixing. So this is like pre Monero level kind of privacy stuff.
Yeah. So that's funny that a lot of damage was done in the days. I'm not going to pin it to any one person because there were a lot of people that were involved with this. But yes, there was a time when Dash was stepping back from its privacy roots and saying, oh, we don't have private send anymore. We can do coin mixing just like anybody can do on Bitcoin. We have no special features. But in fact, we do have a special feature because our coin mixer was built into the protocol and into the main wallet implementation. Mm. And enabled by masternodes. So it was different. It is different. It actually never was removed. It was just we stepped back from we, meaning some people at Dash Core Group, wanted to distance ourselves from the privacy branding so that we could maintain listings on centralized exchanges. Now, I thought this was always a dumb idea.
Yeah, it was a big mistake.
It was a big mistake. Like I said, we never changed anything. The actual feature of mixing has always been there and has always functioned, but we just stopped branding it private send and we started calling it coin join, which, you know, you can debate the terms, which term is better than the other. But like yourself, a lot of people got confused and thought, oh, we're removing the privacy features of Dash. Mm. That never happened. And it will never happen as far as, you know, I will never let that happen. As far as I'm concerned, and there are a lot of people in Dash who would have abandoned the coin had we done anything of the sort. But the stepping away from the branding and just kind of like advertising and marketing our privacy feature, that alone did a lot of damage. So we need to kind of gain that back. But
agreed. Hey, I know, Captain, you had, at the end of the first segment, you had a question. I know we never came back to it. Do you happen to recall what that was?
I do. It was about incentive, although it's more of a statement now than it is a question since we've continued the segment. But it seems to me that Dash is taking advantage of what I like to call human incentive, and that is to say that if you want people adopting your new thing, whatever it is, right? You remember I spent time in the software industry, so I kind of get this incentive thing when you're trying to attract customers. So it seems to me that Dash is implementing a whole bunch of stuff that is tailored to human incentive, and I say that with the incubator project being, you know, sort of the big thing here, that I've never heard of another cryptocurrency having something like this, where it's geared towards inventing new stuff. And the same would go for Dash Direct. I don't know if Ryan knows, but I am sort of a user of it here in the Keene area. I use it for mostly, you know, dinners at restaurants, stuff like that. But I also use it at, like, Home Depot and that kind of thing.
And you've been using it since long before we got the sponsorship from Dash, just for the record.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Yeah, when I first found out about Dash Direct, I'm like, what's this? And, you know, I started using it occasionally, and just as time has gone on, I've used it more and more and more.
Because it's actually useful, and you actually get a discount for using Dash.
And that was one of the things I was going to bring back about. We were talking about AnyPay earlier. When AnyPay first, when I first got to the Keene, New Hampshire area, AnyPay had a Dash back program.
That's right. Yep.
If you went and spent Dash at a local merchant, you would just receive some percentage. I don't remember what it was.
Like 5% or something. Up to a cap. It was like,
yeah, it seemed high, but I was like, oh, wow. And so I get a discount. I get Dash back. That's awesome.
Yep. So, and that was funded by the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization.
It was, but that's what I like about Dash Direct, is it's sort of a take on that same sort of philosophy where, hey, if you use our cryptocurrency through this gift card economy, you know, we can give you a discount sometimes. So I guess really my question is will this continue, this gearing Dash towards human incentive?
Yes. That's perfect, because that's actually very close to what I'm trying to bring that exact message to the Dash community. It's taken me years, but to get back to the coin emission thing, I think that programs like that, you need to evaluate, like, what would be the value if we could just magically lift the cap and the supply schedule of Dash? And this could apply to any other currency if there were similar ones. But if you could do that and you could say, I want to create 1,000 Dash and give it to these programs, the question you should ask yourself is, would the creation of those new coins and the potential selling pressure that those new coins coming onto the market could potentially create, is that offset by and overcome by the benefit of whatever you're sending those 1,000 coins out in the market to do, whether that's acquiring, you know, maybe you could acquire 100 new users and adding 100 new users who really had a great impression of Dash and it solved the problem for them in their life. Would those 100 users offset the potential sell pressure that the addition of those 1,000 coins would add? And in my opinion, there are very many cases where you would be creating more value by creating the new coins. In other words, increasing the token supply, the coin supply, you're still creating more value by doing that. And if you think about it, of course that's the case, because otherwise how would any coins be created if creating coins was decreasing the value, right? Every coin is technically inflationary. Every coin is adding more coins, adding more coins, adding more coins. Every block, adding more coins. Now it's sending it to miners, and miners are potentially selling those coins, putting downward pressure on the price. But they could also be not selling those coins and maybe giving them to neighbors. And then the neighbor gets them, and he hopes that the price goes up. And so he's talking to his neighbors. So it's debatable whether increasing coins are adding value or taking value away. But what's clear is that every coin is increasing the coins.
Ryan, I only asked you for up to an hour, and I'm going to ask you if you want to stay and continue this discussion. It's gotten it's even deeper than I expected it to be. I think it's been really good. It's up to you, though. I don't know what you have to do tonight.
Yeah, I've got my wife and kids are coming back, but it might be a little noisier on my end, but I'm happy to stay.
All right, let's keep this going here. The phones are available if you've got a question for Ryan Sovereign from Dash Incubator, 603-283-6160.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.